wherever he gives you that influence, over the city, over church, over your family, over nation, wherever he gives you the influence. Is that too cool? But boy, does it seem foolish. And he's making it seem more and more foolish. For you see your calling, brothers, that there are not many wise according to the flesh. Now, okay, Justin, Kurt, listen to this one. You'll like this one. Ready? This one. Ready? For you see your calling, brothers, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, nor powerful, nor well-born. That means born in fancy houses with silver spoons in their mouth with great parenting necessarily. But God chose the foolish things of the world. God's calling us foolish here. But he's God. He knows. Everybody's foolish to him. But God chose the foolish things of the world that the wise might be put to shame. And God chose the weak things of the world so that he might put to shame the strong things. God chose the lowborn of the world, the despised. That's the word despised. The rejected people. The people that society doesn't necessarily want. The people that the enemies try to make feel bad about themselves. God chose them. And the things that are not, so that he might bring to nothing the things that are in this world. So that no flesh might glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who was made to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, so that even it has been written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. What the Lord's saying there is that he's going to take people like Justin, people with a seventh grade education, people who had to raise themselves, people that the church has basically offended and kicked out, people that everybody else says you're not wanted. And God's going to take him, if he'll die to his flesh, and actually use him in such a powerful way that people with PhDs are going to stop and say, wow, how did God do that? Maybe there's something about God. Maybe there's something real about this. Because how could he be doing those things? How could he be so successful? How could he be used by God? How could that person with no money, how could that single mom who has been beaten down, didn't she used to be a drug addict, how could she have so much peace and joy? How could their needs keep being met? See, God is going to take the very things that Satan and his kingdom and his society and how he has set things up and his power system. And God is going to actually turn that thing upside down by bringing his people forth into power and wisdom and great things for the kingdom and even finances. That's going to make the world stop and say, who is their God? But we've got to first die to all these things of the world ourselves. So we can enter into that. We've got to die to rejection. Because if you've been despised and rejected, then you're going to use all those things that God's trying to do in your life and bring in your life. You're going to use those for yourself where there's no real power, where God doesn't get the glory, and where Satan can actually use it to hurt you and to hurt other people. Okay? Does everybody get this? Does anybody have any questions? Yes. Which is which? Well, you probably already know if you get real. You know, because of teaching, you know God wouldn't do that. You know how to handle certain things, what to do with certain things. You know, you learn what the word. Think of it this way. You have to know the word. Why? Because the word is God's written word to tell us. His spirit has to bring life to it, so it's not legalism. But the word tells us how we're supposed to think. The word tells us what truth is. Now, the spirit of truth has to bring life to that, or it's going to bring legalism and death. But if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, then when you read the word, it should bring answers to everything that you want. Now, let me say what, if you have rejection, let's say if you have rejection and it's really strong and you don't bind it, you don't catch on, oh, this isn't me. This is just a devil. It doesn't have authority. I'm taking authority right now and I'm binding it. Okay. If you don't learn to do this while you're plundering this house, okay, you're going to keep playing this game back and forth. But let's say you finally recognize why How do you know? How do you know, for example, that Mr. Wright comes along and you just think, oh, this is great. This is him. Well, Mr. Wright's not a Christian. That automatically makes him Mr. Wrong. Period. Period. How can it be biblical to say that your children can't date unbelievers? How can it be biblical to say that they can? The Bible says have no fellowship with darkness. That settles it. You can't hang out with them. You can't play at their house. You've got to do it in love, and you've got to give them a lot of other things to do and Christian friends, and you're going to have to go out of your little comfort zone of letting the world raise your kids, and you're going to have to step up to the plate and do what you have to do. It hasn't been easy for John and I to put our kids in Christian school. Everyone can't afford it, but if you can't afford it, then you had better make sure that you're on the PTA board. You had better make sure that you know who your kids' friends are, that you're the volunteers, that you are completely involved. Because you better go into that dark place as a light. Oh, that doesn't sound fun. He doesn't tell, fun's not in his vocabulary. There's great joy in being used by God in the public school systems, if that's what he's calling you to. You have to tie your kids to the soccer games. You may have to not let them play the soccer games with the kids in the neighborhood. You may have to go find a Christian division. Do you see what I'm saying? You might have to find a youth group. You may have to not have your whole Sunday off and actually bring your kids here Sunday night, if that's what he had to do. Do you see what I'm saying? The Bible says, have no fellowship with darkness. The Bible says it. Why do you think that your kids are going to be more spiritual than that? Why can your kids do that and not be affected by it? Where is that coming from? Where is that coming from? Where is that wisdom coming from? I'm not trying to put a bunch of legalism on you, but I'm telling you, there's only one truth. And God is going to line up with his word. This is really good for you. There is no reason for you to have fellowship with non-believers anymore. Is that simple? Is that simple? You can't hang out with who you used to hang out with. I'm serious. If you won't even do what the word says to do, then you're going to reap allowing the world's false wisdom to orchestrate your steps. And then you're going to have crisis and you're going to have issues, and it's time to stand up and do what the word says and allow God to anoint that, to show you how to do it, and to bless you in that. Do you see what I'm saying? There are strong Christians who thought that their kids could handle dating people who aren't married, and now they're in some issues. Yes, God can turn it around. They can spend 10 years believing for that person to get saved. They can walk through all kinds of trials and crises because they're asking God to save that person. But if they had obeyed God, God would have either gotten that person saved before they started dating them, or God would bring them someone else who would have given them just as great grandchildren, just as great kids, just as great everything. We cannot change the word of God because of our circumstances. We need to see where we got away from the word of God and repent for it so that God can then move into our circumstances and turn things around. Does everybody understand that? God's way is right. Period. God's way. When God says, if you don't discipline a child, you don't love them, he's not playing. And when your kids act like they're rejected and hurt and rebellious and not loved, guess what? You didn't train them up. You didn't discipline them. So quit making up excuses because you saw it on a television show that, you know, you're not supposed to spank them anymore. You're not supposed to do these things. And you rise up and you repent. And you ask God to move in now and show you what to do. There's no condemnation in Christ, but there's still only one word of truth. There's one truth. His name is Jesus. He is the Spirit of truth, and he will reveal from his word truth for you. He says, don't get in debt. Doesn't he? That means don't buy it if you don't have the money. It's really pretty simple not to get in debt. And I believe if you have the income to pay, that's not debt. Because there wouldn't be hardly any Christians with homes. And pretty soon, the enemy would own all the homes, and Christians would be at the hands of the enemy for what they pay. And I can trust God for my job. I don't have to be afraid it's going to be gone tomorrow. But there's a big difference between what I can afford that I really need for God to provide me with food and clothing and shelter that he promises versus all the luxuries and things I just decide I deserve or want or rejection causes me to put in my good house that I'm going to go get. The only way to get out of debt is to repent for debt and to absolutely refuse to give into it anymore. Oh my gosh, I won't have the same lifestyle as someone else. Well, you know what? If your pleasure is in Christ, you don't need to worry about fun anymore. God's way are yes and amen. And when all starts crashing down, there's divorces because of financial problems. There's people missing the calls on their life because they can't go. There's people here who probably would love to go to the Philippines with us in July, but because of debt, you can't go. Or because you didn't let God show you to put that money aside, be holding on to that money, trust God for that money. Do you see what I'm saying? God has all this worked out. We're the ones with all the idols. We're the ones with all the obstacles. And so the bottom line is, there's no condemnation in Christ, but let's start new. Let's the Lord show us what to do. Show us what to do. You know, God has his ways. Bible says, if you burn with passion for your virgin. Of course, we're thinking, well, gosh, it'd be hard to find one of those today. That's a shame. I'm praying for God to save two, one for each of my sons, somewhere, somehow. But the bottom line is, the Bible says, if you burn for passion, if you have passion and you burn with passion for your virgin, instead of defiling her, instead of making the marriage start off on the wrong tracks, marry him. But remember, passion isn't lust. So you need to see which is which. Both of them are very strong. One's perverted and one's from God. One's God's way of saying, this one's for you. But you can't play around with all this stuff. That's why I tell my sons for a long time, what are you going to do when passion rises in you? You're in high school. You couldn't possibly get married yet. So you just as well wait until you're out of high school before you start dating. I can't figure out another way to handle if passion rises, folks. I don't believe in abortion. And I don't think it's in the Bible to put your teenagers on birth control. I think you can have very spirit-led situations like double dating or adults there with them and that kind of thing if you really think there's a reason. I really don't see where there's that much of a reason until it's time that the Lord can bring them the one he has for them. But we act like the world. We act like the world. And then we wonder why we have the exact same problems that the world has. And it's a shame that the body of Christ can't come together and be biblical to where there's not a double standard. Well, this friend does that. Well, this friend does that. And then it's really hard to say, yeah, but the word says. And God will give you wisdom even for that. But then you got to keep them busy. You've got to keep them involved in things so they can't sit around saying, I have this horrible life. Do you understand how much you need to know true wisdom? And the fear of the Lord, the respect for God and his word is the beginning of wisdom. Some of you don't have much going with God because you don't have any wisdom, because you don't have any fear of the Lord. You don't care if you sin. You don't care if you hurt somebody. You don't care. I mean, maybe you care, but it's not worth saying absolutely no to. God wants you to realize your wisdom is foolishness to him. If your wisdom isn't based on reverent fear of the Lord, your wisdom is worldly and foolish, and it gets in the way of true wisdom from God. And Satan is setting you up with your worldly wisdom. Everybody's so happy. Very happy, 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 happy. You know, I'm excited because I really believe God's going to get us free with this teaching. I've been asking him to show me some things. I've been asking him this week. I'm like, okay, Lord, why? Let me tell you a dream God gave me. Everyone here, dream God gave me. Some of you have already heard it. But in this dream, I got kind of excited once I got the interpretation. I came in here in the dream. I'm in the dream. You ever had this dream where you don't see yourself because you're in the dream? It's like it's really happening. So you know it's you because you're having all the thoughts and conversation, but you don't see you. You know what I'm talking about? Because it's like it's really happening. So in this dream, I walked in. I mean, I knew I was walking in. And I walked in and the place was full. It was just full. People were in every single seat. There were even people in the overflow in the thrift store and seats. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I wasn't late, but I was just right on time. So I'm walking up in this dream and I remember, oh, we have a guest speaker. And I was kind of disappointed that we had a guest speaker because I thought, oh, they're just here for the guest speaker. And I thought, well, they're just here for the guest speaker. I mean, this was going on. God's dreams are so cool. He can reveal so much stuff about what's going on in your heart. So the guest speaker was standing here, and I knew that he was a builder. And there's a builder at another church I was at, and this man is really faithful in giving to this one church. Actually, he's really a substantial giver to this one church because he's a very successful builder. And so my thinking in the dream, because I was analyzing the dream as I was going through the dream, was, you know, maybe it's that guy. And I remember looking around thinking, why are all these people here to hear a builder? You know, I don't even know if this is going to be a spiritual message. And so I'm fiddling around trying to get the microphone straight and trying to be nice. And I felt really awkward, like I needed to entertain all these people because I didn't know them. And I'm thinking, where's Karen and Jordan? Where's something that looks like praise and worship? You know, here we got every seat full and everybody's expecting the normal church thing. And we just have nothing like that. So I'm like, you know. So I'm walking out over to this room over here. And I guess speaker is speaking now. And I'm thinking, I'm just really honest. I'm telling you my dream. God's really cool. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I want to take an offering. But is it right for me to take an offering and not give it to the guest speaker? Because all these people are here for the guest speaker. They're not really here for me. But I really got to pay the bills for this place. If I don't pay the bills for this place, there wouldn't be anywhere for the guest speaker to be sitting here speaking. So what am I going to do? And I'm thinking, should I take two offerings? How do I do this? And there was this tornness about, you know, do I take advantage of all these people and get their money for me and just give the guest speaker a little bit? Or do I do, you know, I'm really going through this. And there was a person who was with the guest speaker in the thrift store. And it was like a desk instead of register. And all of a sudden they stand up and they said, you know, you can barely be getting by. And just like that, I can give you more than enough. More than you can even use. And in the dream, I'm thinking, oh, they're trying to buy me out. They're trying to buy me out. They're trying to come in here and get me to go along with tradition or something. I wasn't sure. I'm thinking, and that was the end of the dream. But I woke up feeling really good about the dream. So I knew it was a dream from God. And I knew it was probably a happy thing, not a bad thing. So God started giving me the interpretation. This was the master builder. And everybody's here to hear Jesus. And if I would just quit trying to make everything right for everybody and worrying about Karen and Jordan and their worship band and what everybody's expecting when they come in, and if I would just quit trying to have some control to make everybody happy and worry if the mountains like the valleys and the valleys like the mountains and if we have nursery for everybody and if this is what they're expecting and all this stuff, if I would just stop all that and just let the master builder do what he wants to do here, he's going to fill the whole place up. Woo! And then the other thing was God revealing my heart. You're still worried about paying the bills. You're still looking at the people as a way to pay the bills. And don't you know that, and that was the Holy Spirit over there speaking, was like, look, you can barely get by and I can make it like that. Or I can give you more than you could ever imagine just like that. In other words, money is not an issue if you get your heart right. Now, it's easy to say, but let's all be real. We got to get free, really free from reasoning. We got to get really free from trying to figure things out. So I've been asking God, he gave me this dream after I started asking, Lord, what is it that stands in the way? You know, what is it? And I know it has something to do with my mind. And so what the Lord revealed in this little tiny dream, and this is going to help some of you with some of this. In this little dream, what the Lord revealed was so many things, it wasn't even funny that's going on in my heart. That's why in the dream it was happening in my head.